Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It's the 22nd day of November. I hope that your week gets off to a great start. I am praying favor on you and safe travels on you and wonderful time. You're in the United States. It's Thanksgiving time, so a wonderful time of holiday season, and we'll mention that each day this week and then stop and pause and take a little side trip into Thanksgiving on Thursday's podcast. But for now, we're dealing with the Genesis 14 story, specifically for the next few days, the story of Melchizedek, one of the more fascinating, interesting characters in the Bible in regards to the connections to the Lord Jesus. I want to deal today with its place in the text in Genesis 14. I want to deal with the way that it has been interpreted in the Hebrew Bible and in Judaism, and then how we have come to use this passage in Christianity. Because sometimes we take things for granted. You know, we know what the New Testament has to say, particularly, say, Hebrews 7 about Melchizedek. We know where the story is going in regards to Jesus as a high priest. But I don't want to do that, not yet. I want to try to take it within the context of its time and its setting. And in that regard, Genesis 14 has been a story of Lot's captivity and rescue, this war between rival kings, five kings versus four kings. Lot gets caught up in the middle of it. He and his family, his children, his goods, his flocks, all are sort of kidnapped, held hostage. Abram arms his 318 servants and he goes and gets Lot. And as he comes back, he starts to encounter these different kings. He brings back the goods. He brings back Lot. In verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva. That's the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, etc., etc. 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Here's what you will notice if you're looking at that. I tried to convey that as I read it. Genesis 14, he's going out to meet the king of Sodom in verse 17. Then in verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, comes to him, and that takes up 18, 19, and 20. Then in 21, the king of Solomon starts talking to Abram. Notice, it's the king of Sodom who comes to meet Abram, and then the insertion of the king of Salem, which takes up three verses, and then we go right back to the king of Sodom talking. And that has caused our Hebrew scholar friends to conclude that what you're reading in Genesis 14, verses 18, 19, and 20 are an interruption to the narrative. It's very obvious that it's an interruption because you have Abram meeting the king of Sodom. Three verses take a side swipe towards Melchizedek of Salem, and then the king of Sodom talks. It's like, why is this injection here about Melchizedek? Well, the Hebrew philosophy on this, the Torah philosophy on this, is that it's possible that this was an addition to the Torah text, to the account of Genesis, from perhaps the Second Temple period to explain the tithe and the priest system, and that the story was placed into this moment in the narrative to try and explain that later phenomenon. Now, I'm not here to tell you that's the case or not the case. I'm just being fair in trying to give you a little bit of a Hebrew understanding as to what this story meant. That's basically a Judaistic way of seeing it. Like, for instance, Josephus, when he writes, he just sees Melchizedek as a chieftain. When he writes in Antiquities, he calls him a priest. And so my point is there's this developing theology, even throughout Judaism, as to what Melchizedek means. There's also this fantastical story I won't even go into that's off the charts fantasy from the second book of Enoch, which is probably a more of a first century AD commentary on some of the characters of the Old Testament, and it's got him virgin born and fully developed when he's born and all kinds of sort of off the charts ideas. Where we might get a little closer to the source of the Hebrew idea is in the Dead Sea Scrolls. When those were discovered and part of the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran in the West Bank, there's some fragments in there that have the words Melchizedek and him being divine. It even refers to him as Elohim. And that might be why we end up with the book of Hebrews viewing Melchizedek in divine terms, with Christ being a priest after the order of Melchizedek, because our Dead Sea Scroll writings, which were even predated Christ, their ideas were that Abram has encountered the divine, and that what happens when he meets Melchizedek is an encounter in the midst of all of these secular kings, like the king of Sodom, and then almost as an opposite to the king of Sodom comes the king of Salem. And this king of Salem, king of peace, becomes the precursor for the city of Jerusalem, Jeru-Salem. That this city of peace is sort of the natural extension of this king of peace whom Abram meets. And then that allows the biblical corpus, so to speak, to build the kingship around Jerusalem, Jerusalem being the seat of peace, and then the Prince of Peace, Jesus, will come to a Jerusalem, and then you and I are recipients of and dwellers in a new Jerusalem, because we have a new peace, which is the product of a new covenant, which is founded on a new Adam, and Hebrews will relate him as sort of a new Melchizedek. So that's kind of the Hebrew lens for how to see this king. Verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Just within the story, we have never had a priest of God Most High. A priest is a representative of man to God. And so this insertion of a priest is the first indication of this method of approaching God through priestliness, which is where God wants Israel to be, all of them to be a kingdom of priests. And that's what we are said to be in Revelation 1, a kingdom of priests. But why bread and wine? What does it come to represent? And of course, that will lead us on a journey we will start to go down tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless.